What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Happy Tampering Day, ladies and gentlemen. We are officially into the busy part of the offseason as the tampering period in the NFL opened up today at noon. Wednesday is the official open of free agency at 4 o'clock, but Gino Camilleri joining me, as always. A lot of moves basically being done now, and they're just going to become official on Wednesday, and the Eagles were involved.
Yeah, we got the early one. They got that Malik Jackson signing. Everybody thought it 3 years, $10 million. That would have been absolutely bananas if they got him that cheap. But no,
I was shocked at first. I'm like, it can't be possible. There's no way.
I thought that Howie Roseman was a goddamn wizard, because that would have been the most absurd contract for a player of that caliber in a long, long time. But no, we wake up, we get that signing, Malik Jackson. I think it's a great compliment to Fletcher Cox. He's healthier than Tim Jernigan. He's a little bit older, but he still has that pass rush juice. He had 8 and 6.5 the 2 years before that in Jacksonville. And they're really banking on him to get back to his form, and I think he can. When I was studying the tape for Dante Fowler for the Scouting Academy, Malik Jackson was always making things happen. He would eat up space. He was getting double and triple teamed too, so that definitely took away from his production. But he's a guy that could come in there and play that Tim Jernigan role, and I think he's an upgrade over Jernigan. You know he's going to be healthy. He's very reliable. He played in all 16 games the last six seasons he's played in all 16 games. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the field. He's going to be a space eater, much like Fletcher Cox. And if you're an offensive coordinator and it's third and long, who are you going to slide your protection to, Fletcher Cox or Malik Jackson? Because that's going to be a hell of a tandem.
It's an unreal pairing when you think about it. Like, Fletcher Cox has never played next to someone this good. I mean, Jernigan, like, he was probably up there. I think, I mean, who else would really even be there? He started off playing with, like, Cullen Jenkins and then Benny Logan. So, yeah, I think Malik Jackson, hands down. I mean, when you talk about just his pass rushing ability, not even talking about Fletcher Cox, 18 sacks the last 3 years, 64, that 2017 season with Jacksonville, 64 pressures, 8 sacks, and 4 forced fumbles. Like, if he can get back to that this year and you're only paying $10 million for him, I mean, that's incredible. This is a top 10 guy when we're talking about QB pressures at defensive tackle. And you know, 29 years old, it's not a spring chicken, but at the same time, it's not Michael Bennett.
The prime of his career.
Right.
He's the prime of his career.
Yeah, and some people were talking about, well, why don't you just give this money to Michael Bennett, who, by the way, Bennett, 4 years older, was not going to be happy no matter what, considering Derek Barnett was going to come back, and they were going to make Derek Barnett the guy next outside of Brandon Graham. With that first unit on the defensive line, on top of him wanting more money, going to be turning 34 in the fall, I believe. So to me, I think it's not really a Malik Jackson versus Michael Bennett, but if you're replacing Michael Bennett with Malik Jackson, just not even just when we're talking about like position wise, because, you know, Malik Jackson's more of a defensive tackle, Bennett's more of a defensive end, but just from a pure pass rush standpoint, I mean, Jackson's a pretty good replacement. I mean, again, this is a guy that got a massive contract in 2016 after that Super Bowl where Von Miller won MVP, Gino, but I feel like Jackson might have been the better player on the field that day against the Panthers.
He's exactly what this team looks for in a defensive tackle. He's somebody that gets after the quarterback. And the reason why he had a quote-unquote downfall in production last year is because look at who they had there. You get rid of Dante Fowler halfway through the season, the pass rush falls on his lap because you have Ngakoue kind of fell off himself. Marcell Dareus can't get into the backfield. He's more a run-stuffing defensive tackle. It was mostly on Malik Jackson to try and penetrate the pocket and move the quarterback around, and it was tough for him. Bringing him into this system, much like you did Tim Jernigan a few years back, who Malik Jackson isn't going to have to switch from a 3-4 nose tackle, but can now continue to play that 4-3 defensive tackle position, play that 3-tech position, much like Fletcher Cox. You're going to have a guy who can come in right away. He's going to stay on the field. He's going to contribute. And there's a reason that there was a high market between Green Bay and Philadelphia, because they know his pass rush ability, and those two teams were looking for pass rushing defensive tackles. And Malik Jackson, honestly, was the best guy on the market for it. And to get him at $10 million, you see some of the money being thrown around today. That is an absolute steal. And look at the Brandon Graham deal. Dante Fowler got $14 million last night for one season. They're paying Graham $13.3 million. Howie Roseman, the things he does just truly are remarkable, and he continues to amaze me time and time again. And the deals he's made today have made it even more true that he is the best GM in football.
Yeah, you look at just, I mean, again, I think for just 2019, Malik Jackson is probably the best option you could have put at defensive tackle next to Fletcher Cox. And this doesn't rule out drafting a defensive tackle in the first round or with one of your two second-round picks, but it makes it, you know, you have even more optionality now, because the position we were talking about that was the biggest need was defensive tackle after they moved on from Jernigan. So that was a thing where, like, for sure, they were going to go with one in those first three rounds, you know, with one of those first three picks in rounds one and two, whereas now you have a little bit more optionality where maybe you want to take a Nazir Adderley in the first round or a Josh Jacobs, and in the second round you want to go receiver and maybe offensive line to replace the guy we're going to talk about in a minute down the road. So it gives you more options. Malik Jackson's not someone that's going to play for 1 year and then suddenly be washed and then he's a cap casualty. Like, this is a guy that, much like a lot of the Eagles roster right now, is smack dab in his prime and is going to give you at least, I think, these 3 years of his contract. You're going to get three really good years next to Fletcher Cox. I mean, this is the best defensive tackle pairing in the NFL. I would even say if Ndamukong Suh stayed in L.A., I think this pairing is better than Suh and Aaron Donald.
Definitely. Some quick breaking news. The Eagles are not picking up the option on offensive lineman Stefan Wisniewski's contract, per Mike Garofalo of NFL Network. They're saying right now the Jets could be interested. Makes a lot of sense with that Sayamalu extension. I think he wanted to get some more playing time. And honestly, offensive guard isn't really the biggest concern outside of Brandon Brooks, but just some breaking news. We are losing Stefan Wisniewski to free agency.
Yeah, I think that's not too surprising after the Sayamalu extension. This is Wiz is a guy that's always been outspoken about wanting to be on the field, and he's good enough to be a starter somewhere else. I mean, he was really good at left guard during that Super Bowl run. I even thought he played well enough last year to where people were kind of scratching their heads as to why Sayamalu went back into the starting lineup. So good luck to Wiz wherever he goes. But that's interesting because the Eagles have really, Geno, kept their core of the offensive line intact. And the last move that it really took to do that was to make a decision on Jason Peters. And they're going to retain him for another year worth up to $10 million, only $5.5 million guaranteed. So it looks like Jason Peters restructured, which I'm surprised because throughout his career, he's not been a guy that's been super easygoing about that, and keeping him next year, I think, for at least one more year was a big necessity. I thought it was one of the most important things that this Eagles team could do in the offseason. Even at, you know, 80% of what JP used to be, still going to be a lot better than what 100% of Big V is, right, for another year. And, you know, now you get another year to develop Jordan Mailata, see what you have with him or another developmental player that you draft without having to throw them in the starting lineup. I think JP is good enough next year where now you give him a whole offseason to get healthy from the
breaking. The Eagles have traded for DeSean Jackson. Woo!
Are you serious?
Yes, sir. Per Adam Kaplan, it is official. It is official. Breaking on the podcast, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Let's go. Unbelievable.
It is official. Sorry that, folks, but it is official. Per Adam Kaplan, DeSean Jackson is back in Midnight Green.
Yes, let's go. Oh, my gosh.
Hope you guys get as much excitement out of that as we do.
Yep, Garofalo, DeSean Jackson of the Eagles, sources tell me, and Ian Rappaport.
Wow.
Geno, okay, everyone knows.
It happened, Lou, it happened. We spoke it into existence.
Oh, this has been 4 years in the making now. No, this has been since 2014 when Chip Kelly cut him. It has been 5 years in the making. This reunion, every single offseason, we talk about DeSean Jackson, could he be coming back, right? The trade deadline last year, the summer or the free agency period of 2017. Over and over again, we're like, this guy shouldn't have left in the first place. And now we get him back, 32 years old, Geno, but still averaged the most yards per completion last year. Still one of the fastest receivers in the entire NFL. What a story. What an awesome move. We'll continue. Let's take a quick break here. We'll gather our thoughts. We'll get into DeSean Jackson officially being traded right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back in. Some breaking news on the episode. DeSean Jackson is coming home. He is back as a Philadelphia Eagle. Spent his first, six seasons with the Eagles. One of the best deep threats in NFL history. then went to Washington, was the Eagle killer for a long time. We know firsthand just how good Deshaun still is, Gino.
Last year,
week two, and I'm sorry, it's really hard to contain our excitement because like the fanboy, the 12-year-old Eagles fan in me is just out and just bouncing off the walls right now because this is a guy that, you know, and at least for me and you, like we grew up watching, like as one of the most exciting players in football. And you're going to add Deshaun Jackson now with Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, Dallas Goedert, and Zach Ertz for Carson Wentz next year. Like this is an unreal offense.
Let's get away from the fact that he was an Eagle beforehand. If you're solely looking the player on tape right now, he is a speed receiver. And what have we been asking for all offseason? Somebody that can come in with speed and stretch the field. Deshaun Jackson still has it. Adam Kaplan on the Go Birds podcast the other day said that multiple teams around the NFL say that Deshaun hasn't lost a step. It's not just the Eagles wanting to make a good story. Teams know the juice that he has back in his legs. He's still flying around out there, and that's where he excels in his game, is stretching the field. They need exactly that. They got their guy. They're not going to go out there, throw Shelton Gibson out there again. They're not going to take a shot. Maybe they take a shot in the draft, but they're not going to rely as heavily on a drafted receiver in year one if they want to take one later in the draft. But man, Deshaun is exactly what this team needed. Opens it up for everything. I'm over the moon right now. I am ecstatic.
And the one thing this team needed on offense was speed. They have everything else. And again, you add still one of the most dangerous deep threats in football. And let's just go to the story, like the fan side of this, or just the story side, the non-football. Because, like, again, it just makes perfect sense for everything they do. Like, he's going to be your, fifth passing target at this point? And he's not a guy that needs 10 targets in a game. Like, this is a player that, with two receptions, can do significant damage. Because a lot of them, we saw it again, week two, Tampa versus Philadelphia. First play of the game, Fitzpatrick to Deshaun Jackson for 70-plus yards and a touchdown over Jalen Mills. He has been the biggest pain in the side of the Eagles defense since he left in 2014. But just the story side, I mean, this is a guy that I think me and you have really talked about it a lot when we speculated about Deshaun coming back, was just unfinished business. He was coming off a career year in 2013. Mm-hmm. There was that hit piece really about him having gang affiliations while he grew up in a bad part of California, that he did have friends that are now part of gangs. Never someone that got in trouble off the field, was producing. And now he comes back. It's just, it's a really cool story. He's a guy that's played with so many different eras of Eagles football, right? Now he's going to be catching passes from Carson Wentz, but this is a guy that played with McNabb. He was in the 2008 AFC or NFC Championship game. He played with Michael Vick, even, you know, Kevin Cobb. It's such a cool story, a reunion story that's not like Jordan Matthews last year. He is going to do significant damage in this offense.
Beyond ecstatic. I'm going to continue to say it because this is exactly what they needed. And we got to go back and pull the audio of us like a couple weeks ago when I said that Deshaun Jackson still has a story to write in Philadelphia. We don't know what the compensation is yet.
It can't be more than a six round pick.
Don't know. I would say it's no more than a six, maybe even a future six or a seven. I can't see it being too much.
I mean, they were about to release.
Does it come with a restructure too? There were some rumblings about a contract restructure, which I would think so, because nobody's paying him $10 million. I mean, actually, you know what? In this market, he probably would have got more, like you said. So $10 million for him isn't terrible, but I am just happy that they finally have stability there, because we thought we had it in Torrey Smith. You trade him away. You think you have it in Mike Wallace. Hopefully Shelton Gibson can give you some juice. Both of them can't get the job done. And this team just plummeted on offense when they lost that element. Now you're going to have Zach Ertz allowing to work into those big zone areas because the field is going to be opened up more. Alshon will be able to play the 10 to 15 yards down the field where he sits. Nelson Aguilar, get him in space. What a better way to create space than opening up the field with a field stretching wide receiver. You're going to have somebody in the backfield now. Hopefully you bring in another element to make this offense even better than it already is. And he's going to benefit from that as well. There's literally nothing this offense will not gain from having Deshaun Jackson out there, besides that they are a little older, but he still has the legs. He still can run. He still plays that role well. Will he be playing that in 2 or 3 years down the road? No, but do you get an instant impact with this move? 100%.
Yeah, this is unreal. I think it's probably going to be for like a six-round pick, considering, you know, Deshaun was probably going to get released anyway. They wanted to get off that $10 million hit. But once again, like, this is not a crazy cap hit of $10 million. Jameson Crowder just got to deal with the Jets that's going to pay him around that money. Randall Cobb's getting paid $10 million. Dante Moncrief was in Jacksonville last year. Marquise Lee. Nelson Aguilar's at $9.5 million. Like, this is what it takes now to pay receivers of wide receiver two type status. And Deshaun Jackson, a guy that, again, has not shown any signs of slowing down speed-wise, which is what they're bringing him in for. You bring him in for a $10 million deal, which you have cap space right now to do that, and it's only for 1 year. They're not on the books now for a 3-4 year contract extension. He has $10 million this year, and then next year his contract does expire, so we'll see what the Eagles decide to do with that. But for a season of Deshaun Jackson on the outside with all these other weapons, it's unreal. And just to get into the character thing real quick, because there's a lot of stories last year about Deshaun and his work ethic at practice and falling asleep in meetings with Tampa Bay, I will just say this: while he is someone that sometimes can be high maintenance, like a lot of these receivers, he's not someone like Antonio Brown that's going to ghost a team week 17 with the playoffs on the line. Not going to be someone that is going to, you know, fight his coaches and yell about not getting 10 targets in a game, right? I mean, we in Washington, we didn't really hear anything about Jackson, and yet he was still a guy that sometimes he'd have three catches for 40 yards, and sometimes he'd have two catches for 90 yards and a touchdown, and you didn't hear him really saying boo either way, because again, he can do so much damage in such little touches. It, to me, what it was more so last year was the frustration about Jameis Winston coming in for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He had, like, only 81 yards, I think, in the last 6 weeks of the season. Like, Winston did not know how to get him involved. They were losing football games. And he was always really just about the money. And it's good to see that his motivations changed. That's what I was always on the edge about with a Jackson reunion is, okay, yeah, he might want to come back to Philadelphia. He wanted to come back in 2017. But ultimately, he took the money in Tampa Bay. Is it going to be a priority now for him to be a contender, considering Deshaun Jackson hasn't been on a team that's won a playoff game since 2008, right? Since his rookie season, Deshaun Jackson has never won a playoff game. So I was finally thinking, this could be the time that he wants to be a contender and not just take the best deal possible. Because if he decided to come to a contender, he would have came to Philadelphia in 2017, who they won a Super Bowl, obviously. And I think he saw that. He saw them win that championship, and I think he felt like he could have been a part of that if it wasn't for Chip Kelly and taking that deal in Tampa. So I think it's good news that it's a good sign for him as well, character-wise, that he's coming back here, because he clearly knows about all the weapons here, and he knows about the money situation that the Eagles are in, and the just the way they spread the football around, and he still wanted to come back. So I think that's a good sign, too.
I agree 100%. I think between him and Jason Peters, they both realize that, JP especially, that now is the time to win. Jason Peters, we said it, he has not been apt to restructure his contract and take a pay cut, and he finally did it. Deshaun Jackson, I'm assuming, is going to have to take a pay cut when he comes here, and I hope that are starting to continually to realize that you want to play for a contender. I mean, I saw a quote today that was talking about the Buffalo Bills that said they were almost like a secondary team for most teams right now, or for most free agent options, and that they don't even really think that they're a priority for most players because they don't think that they can compete. And when you're 29 or 30 years old, starting to get your second contract like a Malik Jackson, and then getting into your third contracts like Deshaun and Jason Peters have, now you want to win. Like, you got your money. Now is the time to win. And what better place to do it that just needs a few more pieces? The Eagles, they have two of the best tight ends, arguably the best tight end tandem in football, have a great offensive line, one of the top 10 quarterbacks, two very good wide receivers right now. Elshon's a bona fide number one. Aguilar just needs an element to his game, another element to the field. It was for a sixth-round pick in 2019 and a seventh in 2020. That was breaking as well. Sorry to interrupt my thought. That's not much compensation at all. But this just makes this offense so much better. And Lou, we haven't even hit the official point of the start of free agency yet, and we have already made so many additions to this team. We have so many draft picks still to add to this offense and add to this defense. How much better can this team get?
This is perfect.
it's just lining up. What have we said time and time again? They need to solidify the interior of the defensive line. You go out and get Malik Jackson. Still are going to draft one or two, I bet. You go out, get a field-stretching wide receiver, which we said. You get Deshaun Jackson. You shored up your left tackle spot with Jason Peters. we need a running back, and we're looking solid. Yeah, you're going to go out and add a couple, two, three depth pieces here and there, but starting-wise, you're looking great from head to toe right now.
Yeah, this is a move where, and again, the two moves, the Jacksons, we talked about, they need a speed receiver, they need interior help, and then we'll see if they do like a bargain-type running back, maybe a TJ Yeldon, who I like the sound of right now, or maybe they still try to kick the tires on a Duke Johnson trade. We'll see what happens, but you know, the two biggest needs that they were going to target in free agency, they got done before free agency even started. And again, with Jackson, still, last year, 6 catches of 40-plus yards in 12 games. The Eagles' entire team only had 9. So this is a guy that fills such a big need. So it's not even just about the – it's such a perfect situation, not only from a fan perspective, how exciting it is that a – you know, Eagles offensive legend is coming back. But again, perfect sense on the field. Does he get number 10? Because how many people
Matt
I own?
Matt Collins.
I don't even know
if Matt Collins is alive right now.
Yeah, right, exactly. I own 2 DeSean Jackson number 10 jerseys. Matt Collins has got to give it up. He can't have 11 because Carson Wentz isn't giving that up.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, not taking it from franchise QB. I'd say so. But yeah, I mean, for the compensation, a 6th and a 2027, they're probably going to add a couple comp picks in the later rounds next year too. You let Stefan Wisniewski walk. Jordan Hicks, we haven't heard anything on. Ronald Darby, haven't heard anything on yet. I'm assuming a lot of these guys are going to walk. I know Malik Jackson doesn't count towards the comp pick formula because they released him prior to the start of the league year. Your big free agent named Nick Foles got a $22 million deal. You're basically set in stone, solidifying a third-round comp pick and probably 2 to 3 more comp picks come next year. We still have to see what Golden Tate gets. There are still a lot of moving pieces going on right now, but looking at everything at face value, this team isn't mortgaging the future. They're not paying out dream team-like contracts like they did back in 2010, 2011, and like the Detroit Lions are doing this year. Power to them going out and signing a lot of free agents. They're building this team the right way. They're building it through additions that aren't splash signings. Malik Jackson was more on the splash end, but still a good depth piece, a good second defensive tackle. They're building through the trenches and adding pieces on the outside at those playmaking positions to help their young quarterback. That's how you build a team, and they're going to continue to do so while they have Carson on young money. Howie Roseman just figures out how to make the cap unlimited at this point. I'm not worried about them going forward. They're doing it the right way, and we say it time and time again, they're finally doing this in the correct manner, not going out, signing these big splash free agents, not drafting for need in the draft. They're doing it the correct way, the way that you want to see championship teams built. And till now in free agency, I have no complaints. Still have a lot of time to go, but at 5:19 p.m., I'm sitting pretty at what we've done so far.
Yeah, this is setting up the draft to be real nice, where they can go out and add literally anything they want future needs-wise. We talk about it all the time, that they can just go out now and select players that they think they can use in a couple years, right? And, you know, running back again, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll get into that the next segment. But, wow, DeSean Jackson is coming back. We've been speculating for a couple years now on DeSean Jackson. Jeremy Maclin came up a couple times where he could be coming back, LeSean McCoy, and it ends up being DeSean, which I think is going to be the most exciting move. Interesting stat here I'm looking at. Based on the success rate of a certain route for DeSean Jackson and Carson Wentz.
You just
Wentz,
saw that too?
Yeah, they line up perfectly, where DeSean and Carson Wentz, some of their most successful routes, out routes, curls, digs, posts, comebacks, slants, stick and nod, the seam route. It's look, this is a match made in heaven, really, for Carson Wentz and this offense. Again, because they have everything now. With Nelson Agholor, you can keep him in the slot. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Agholor. Maybe they try to extend him, get that contract down. Mm-hmm. But, wow, what a trio at receiver. They've come so far. Just a couple years ago with Doriel Green-Beckham, Josh Huff, and number 17, Nelson Agholor, to now they are 5 weapons deep in the passing game, and they're going to add a running back that hopefully can do some damage in the passing game as well. Real quick, before we take our break, Gino, I think the trade was interesting because I was going back and forth with whether they should just wait until Tampa releases him, but there are going to be a lot of teams that we're going to offer more than $10 million based on how people get overpaid, especially speed guys. Like, we know speed is a huge attraction, a huge commodity in the NFL, in the draft and in free agency. For only a 6 and a future 7, I think it's great that they made sure the price wasn't going to be higher than $10 million.
Yeah, absolutely. And according to Jeff McClain of, I think he's of the Inquirer, yeah, Philly.com, they were checking in on other speed free agents, or not free agents even, speed wide receivers. Apparently they made a call on Kenny Stills of the Dolphins. So they weren't just dead set on adding DeSean Jackson. They were dead set on adding a speed receiver, which they did. Jackson, a little older, but still has the juice. I keep going back to that Adam Kaplan quote. Teams around the league knew that he still had gas, knew he still had juice in his legs, knew he could still run. When teams are saying that, you know you have a good player and you know you have a good find. There were people saying that the Cowboys were interested in DeSean. Teams know his value and they know that type of value in that player. And look at the draft this year, Lou. Have we not been saying that it's not the best year for field stretching wide receivers early on?
It's not the best for really speed in general.
Yeah, unless you're going to wait till either you're going to overdraft Paris Campbell and Emmanuel Hall, because both of those guys are probably going to go early day two, or you're going to wait around for a Mecole Harmon and Terry Godwin and try. It's either hit or miss with them. I mean, right now, if you're going to take them for the Eagles in those late rounds and let them figure out how to become a field stretching wide receiver behind DeSean Jackson, sign me up any day of the week. It adds to the fact that they don't have to rely on younger receivers now. And they can go out with a veteran core, bring in some young receivers to flourish under those veteran guys, and create that nice group that you wanted that you didn't get to have last year. Because you brought in Mike Wallace, he didn't work out, your young guys were hurt most of the year. Now you can go in, let Mac Hollins and Shelton Gibson battle. Maybe you bring in a day two wide receiver, you bring in another running back, and competition is key. And this only adds to the competition element of that wide receiver group. A-plus move in my eyes for a 6th and a 7th round pick. I don't think there's much risk in this at all. And I'm assuming that cap number comes down as soon as it comes through. We'll know the realization there. But Aguilar, Alshon, DeSean, best wide receiving trio in the NFC East, bar none.
And I'll take it over Golden Tate and paying Golden Tate $14 million.
$14 million, good luck, Golden.
That's what he's looking for, and he might actually get it, but he is not worth it to me compared to DeSean Jackson at 10, or maybe you extend DeSean for a couple years and you get that down even a couple million more. But just so cool. I mean, it's just such a cool thing to bring him.
How
back.
Happy you're gonna be when you just see Carson load up his arm and DeSean Jackson's on the other receiving end of it against Dallas in Jerry World. Every Eagles fan is going to have Vietnam War-like flashbacks to this. A great addition to this team. Howie Roseman, I'm giving you a round of applause, my friend. That is an A-plus move.
Malik Jackson and DeSean Jackson to start off free agency. They never disappoint during the free agency and the offseason period to make it exciting. This is Howie's season. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, we'll wrap up with some other rumors that the Eagles have been linked with as free agency officially starts Wednesday at 4 o'clock. But hey, Malik Jackson and DeSean Jackson already coming in to Philadelphia for 2019. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, we're back. DeSean Jackson's back. Malik Jackson in town. Been a pretty good Eagles Monday. We hope you guys are enjoying this podcast as the breaking news came on. We'll get more into Jason Peters tomorrow. We're going to have Zach Moron of OverTheCap.com to kind of get into the salary cap portion of this free agency period, as it is the time to spend money for NFL teams. Some other rumors to get into, Gina, while we wrap up the show. It looks like Tevin Coleman could be a target for the Eagles from Mike Garofalo, but they are concerned about his market. They think he's going to get overpriced where he could be making $8+ million. I really like his fit here, but if he's making, you know, close to $9 to $11 million, for me, that's RB1 commitment, and I'm not willing to do that for Tevin Coleman. I think he would be a perfect number two or a low-end number one with a rookie and a committee approach, but if I'm paying him that much, I don't think I'm going to get out of him what I'm looking for. I think he'd be a perfect fit, but again, that price seems, if I can get him in the $7 million range, I'm okay with that.
I've heard multiple reports that he is going to be priced out of their price range. I've seen it that there's multiple teams that are involved. You look at the Jets. Do they take a Tevin Coleman, or do they want to overpay for Le'Veon Bell? I think that's the team to look out for in this. And at that price, man, I'd rather go out and get a TJ Yeldon for about half the price. A similar skill set obviously doesn't bring as good of a skill set as a Tevin Coleman does, but he's very good in pass protection and he's a pass catching back that can take carries. I think if you're going to pay a running back, get somebody that you can get at value, because you just went out and got DeSean Jackson, and now you're going to have to see what you do with Nelson Agholor. If they move Agholor, I think they'd be more inclined to spend that money on a running back like Tevin Coleman. But if you're sitting currently at your current state, I think you go value there. I think you look towards the Yeldons, towards the Jalen Richards of the world, those pass-catching backs, because Tevin Coleman definitely is – he's a 1A, 1B style guy, but I don't think this team is going to, just because of their track record, go out and sign a high-profile running back outside of DeMarco Murray move, which was all Chip Kelly. This team has not invested heavily cap space-wise into a running back, so I can't see them going out and paying Coleman what he wants right now.
And speaking of running backs, as we wrap it up here, Le'Veon Bell, according to Dave Spadaro, the official Philadelphia Eagles insider, he thinks there is zero chance that Philadelphia is going to target Le'Veon Bell. And that's a guy that is closer to the team than any reporter. And if he's saying that, Gino, I believe it. And again, if you're going to pay DeSean Jackson $10 million this year, it kind of, to me, hints that you are not going all in on paying a running back, which to me puts me all in on Josh Jacobs' watch.
I think so, too. I think if you can bring in that element, not via a high cap amount, I mean, you're going to have to pay him that first-round money, but you don't take away from the comp pick formula, which he's going to be – well, I think $8 million is a fourth-round comp pick. I could be mistaken, but you take away that element out of it. You can invest in depth at other positions right now. I think they have decent depth at the running back position, but you could still go out, draft a Josh Jacobs in the first round, and maybe double up and draft a Bruce Anderson later in the draft. I think you have to be all in on a running back right now. You look at the depth chart from top to bottom on offense, running back is like a little league team out there. You look at the guys they have compared to the big names in DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Dale Scotter. You're looking at names like Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood. You need to add somebody there. I don't think you should go out and overpay and just bring in a running back just to bring in a running back, but does bringing in Malik Jackson and DeSean Jackson make me not want a first-round defensive lineman or a first-round wide receiver as much and probably shy towards that running back position? Absolutely.
What a day for Eagles fans all across the world. Malik Jackson coming in to add to what is now a terrifying front four of Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, and Derek Barnett on top of Chris Long, and draft picks in a historic defensive line class. DeSean Jackson coming home, a guy that still remained a top deep threat despite having guys like Jameis Winston throw him the ball, Kirk Cousins, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Amazing story. Great fit on the field. Not a crazy investment money-wise. Makes so much sense. You could not have had a better start to free agency filling those two huge needs. And me and Gino will continue our coverage of free agency throughout the week. Again, tomorrow we have Zach Moore of Over the Cap coming on the show to get into the money side of this time of year. And then on Wednesday, when free agency officially opens up, we will continue to recap everything that happens. So make sure you keep it locked on Locked On Eagles or on LockedOnEagles.com, where we also have written content up. And follow our Twitter accounts as well for instant reactions on all things Philadelphia Eagles, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and Gino, at Gino_LOE. I called it, Gino. DeSean Jackson's back.
You did, my man.
For 2 years.
I'll give this one to you. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I haven't stopped smiling since I've seen it. I can't wait for my girlfriend to walk in the door to tell her that we signed him, because this was the one that was really going to get me excited. And I should have grabbed my jersey when I was at home at my parents' house yesterday, because I knew there was a reason I shouldn't have burned that DeSean Jackson jersey all those years ago. And everything came full circle. Time is a flat circle. And these Eagles are looking pretty damn good after this day of free agency.
What color DeSean jersey you got?
black, baby.
Yeah, so do I. I got a black one, and then I just ponied up. It's funny. I just bought a DeSean Jackson Kelly Green jersey with the 50th anniversary patch on it literally a week ago.
How loud is the link going to be when he scores his first touchdown or when he gets introduced the first game back? It might explode.
It's going to be great. It's been a long time coming, and again, mm-hmm. the fanboy in me, the 10-year-old. I mean, again, this is a guy I grew up becoming one of my favorite players. So, again, I am a little biased towards DeSean, but again, makes perfect sense on the field. Thank you, everyone, that has been listening into today's edition of Locked On Eagles. We'll be back tomorrow. I got some DeSean Jackson highlights to go watch. Gino's got some Malik Jackson highlights to go watch. This is Locked On Eagles. Once again, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.